Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this fourth Sunday of Lent. Today we will hear and reflect on our Gospel from St. John. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
It's Fish for Dinner every Friday of Lent through March 27th at St. Pius X Catholic Church on Galahar near Airline. From 4:30 till 7 p.m. each Friday, parishioners will prepare fried tilapia, hush puppies, coleslaw, fries, green beans, tea or water, and you can substitute a baked potato for a small fee. Call the church office, 993-4053, for more information.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara, and how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And greetings to all of our listeners this morning.
Yes, yes, here we are, the middle of March. Well, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, I wanted to let our audience know, just like last week, that this particular reading might be different from what they hear in their church, because we're doing the reading for year B, and year A would be for the elect in their church.
Right, for the elect who are preparing with the scrutinies for their baptism coming up on the Easter Vigil. So, yes, they might hear at particular masses in the parishes other readings, but these are the ones assigned for year B.
Right. And for this particular Sunday, some of the priests may be vested in the rose vestments, which means joy, even
Correct.
Though we are in this period of Lent.
Right. The church always reminds us during Advent and Lent on one of those Sundays, either Gaudete or Laetare Sunday, that we are also a people who are redeemed, who are living in the resurrection of the Lord. So it's just a reminder as we go through the desert of these 40 days to also rejoice in the gift of the Lord's death and resurrection. So it's kind of a little hint of resurrection coming up.
Yes, it is.
It's interesting, you mentioned the rose color. I was asked the other day about the what we call the pink sisters, the sisters of the Holy Spirit of Perpetual Adoration, who are on in the diocese, of course, on Ocean Drive, but in their adoration chapel, and much of it is pink, and their own habits are pink, and it's a symbol of joy, that one of the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, as we live by the Spirit, is joy, and symbolized by the rose color. So greetings to them today on this Sunday that we celebrate the color of their habit.
And we certainly thank them for all the prayers that they give to us.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, our gospel this morning, at least to me, it's very visual. It's a very visual when you think of Moses lifting up the serpent in the desert.
Right. Well, we know the story from the book of Numbers that as the people were coming out of Egypt and going across the desert, because of their complaints, there was a plague of these serpents. And so complaining about to Moses about the lack of food and all of this, their all the travails of traveling through the desert. And so God asked Moses to place a bronze serpent upon a pole, and all those who repented of their complaining and their sins against God of lack of trust to look upon the serpent, and they would be saved for that. So it's already a prefiguring, an image of the cross, and that's what the gospel, of course, is about today, and Jesus' response to Nicodemus. As he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man. And I think it's important to look at the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. You know, I think we're, of course, preparing for the great paschal mystery of the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus into eternal life, into life, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. And so we're traveling toward that. We're traveling in this part of our journey through the desert of the 40 days to reach Calvary, to see the Son of Man lifted up, so that we, in believing in him, might have a conversion of heart and be given eternal life. I think what's important for us is to know the goal, which is eternal life. We live in a world that is very short-sighted. It's a fast, hurried life and an instant gratification syndrome that we live under. But we have to realize as an aspect of faith, it's a gradual movement toward, it's a conversion of heart toward God in Jesus Christ, who offers us eternal life. And so that is what our journey is about in this desert of 40 days of Lent, of being in touch with the difficulties of life, the temptations that occur in all of our lives, so that we can, again, focus on, look upon the Son of Man, the gift of God, his Son, lifted up on the cross for our salvation, for the gift of eternal life.
And, you know, when I was looking at this gospel and these people were complaining about the desert and the struggles, as you mentioned, and we think about our own journey and what our challenges were and what we decided to work on during Lent, I heard one of the priests a couple of weeks ago say, don't give up. Yeah. You know, if you've slacked or you've not been good on your Lenten promise, don't give up. Continue.
Right. And that's a good point. And I think that each of us should really be kind of a coach with each other or an encouragement with each other. And that was one of the points I wanted to bring up today. And since you brought it up, maybe we'll skip ahead to that. And in my own journey during this Lent, I realized, we need that extra little coaching. We need that encouragement of each other. We need to see in each other an example. And it just opened up the whole spectrum of the church, which is called the communion of saints, a communion here on earth. You know, we are to encourage each other. And I know I've brought this up before, but Pope Francis has really been pretty strong with all of us in the church. And he spoke of one of the great ills in the Christian life, in the Christian community, which is gossip, that we readily, easily, and sometimes, unfortunately, delight in gossiping about others. And of course, gossip means I don't know all the facts. I'm going to make them up. And they sure are tantalizing, and the deeper they get, the more extreme they can become, and they can malign somebody, but also it tears down the body of Christ. It tears down our union with each other. If we don't know something, if we don't know what is actually happening or what is in a person's mind or their intention in acting the way they do, we should not at all, number one, gossip. Or even judge, because these are the poisonous snakes, you might say, among us that can really tear down. We should encourage each other, is my point, that we should get to that. And just to kind of highlight that in our liturgy, you know, one of the things when we go to Mass as some of you, the listeners, might be heading there now, is to listen to the prayers. I mean, I think we kind of get caught up in the ritual side of it. You know, we've heard many people be discouraged and leave the church because it's always the same thing. Well, it's eternal truths that we say over and over. And I know for myself, I can easily, as a priest for almost 40 years now, say the words of the Mass and miss the depth. And so I would encourage us during these last weeks of Lent to really listen to the words that are prayed during Mass. And the two that I'd like to bring out to our attention, and it involves encouraging each other and standing together, I guess the term is standing tall, together in the church and avoiding these pitfalls of gossip. And one of them is just before the sign of peace, where we say, Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. And this is the point. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance to your will. God wants peace and unity among us. That's his will. And so we're praying, do not look upon our sins, whatever they are, personal sins, collective sins, but on the faith of your church. We stand together. And so what I lack in virtue, what I lack in any kind of a spiritual understanding, what I lack maybe in prayer, somebody else is there as well. And what a beautiful reality that we stand together. And we should be aware of that, not to rely on that, to become dependent,
right,
or to foster my own weakness, but to be built up. So not look upon my sins, but upon the faith of the church, so that we can all grow together in faith as a community of people who can witness to Jesus Christ and be the light of the world that is in the next part of the gospel today, which we can speak about after the break. But if we don't stand together, if we don't foster unity and peace among us, we'll have nothing to say. We'll have nothing to give to a dark world that is getting darker by the minute.
True.
Don't want to be a doomsday prophet, but I think it's reality.
Yeah, they need our prayers. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break and continue our conversation when we return. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Enjoy a delicious fried or baked fish dinner prepared by the Rockport Knights of Columbus from 4:30 till 7 p.m. every Friday of the Lenten season through March 27th at the Sacred Heart Parish Hall, 213 South Church Street in Rockport. Fish fry proceeds benefit college scholarships, and last year the Knights of Columbus were able to present four $1,000 college scholarships to deserving students from the area. To hear all about it, including carryout information, call 361-790-4628.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. We're looking at this gospel. John really presents Jesus as a symbol of light in comparison to darkness.
Right, and it's kind of an irony that the light is on the cross, you know, that light is there. But we have to go back also to the symbol of light from the very beginning because, you know, John presents this even at the birth of Jesus, that the light has come into the world, and that light is eternal life. And so we have this whole image of light. And I think, you know, the way Jesus dispels the darkness of life is to be on the cross, you know, to take all of that upon himself. St. Paul says in the second letter to the Corinthians that he who knew no sin, that Jesus, of course, we know is God, did not sin, could not sin. I guess he could in his human side, but did not. And so he was totally God. But he offered himself, and that is what conquers evil, when one offers themselves, puts themselves in the place of the other. So he who did not know sin became sin, did not sin, but became sin for our sake. And that dispels evil. because God took it into himself mm-hmm. and said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, was not overcome by the temptations of evil to turn away from God, but in fact put himself into God through all of that to conquer sin, the effects of evil. And in that becomes light. And that's where the resurrection is, the great feast of light, that Jesus has conquered death, sin, evil, and has given us light. And so after we have the introduction of Jesus being lifted up on the cross, drawing everyone to himself who believes in him has eternal life, then St. John makes that beautiful statement, which we hear so often, 3:16 in the Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. I think it's important because that's kind of the phrase that's always kind of picked out or extracted as the favorite. But look right at what was before it. He was lifted up on the cross. So that we have to look at him and believe in him, that he is the one who has conquered these things, and that happening because God sent him as the light to die for us, to in our place, for our sins and for the life of the world, and to be its light. The other, continuing on with that gospel, those verses there, that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. And many times, you know, we can look judgmental. You know, when you're teaching something that is in opposition to the mentality of the world, it looks like we're judgmental and condemning, and we don't mean at all, and our teaching is not meant, and God certainly doesn't mean to, and Jesus certainly did not allow us to, as his followers, to condemn anyone. That's not our position. But to be the light, to speak the truth, to guide in what is right and what is wrong. And that comes from his word. And I think Pope Francis, in many ways, is trying to bring the church back to its origin of standing firm in the word of God, which then gives light to the teaching of the church. And the teaching of the church and the moral teaching and the theological teaching, the liturgical teaching, is based in the word of God. So it's, you know, the word and the teaching of the church and throughout tradition. So none of that is ever meant to condemn anyone. That's God's business with,
right.
But we have to communicate the light that has been given to us as a sacred treasure, to pass that on. And, you know, in another place in John's gospel, it says, you've been condemned already because of the word that I have spoken to you. So if we don't adhere to that, if we don't come to the light, look upon Jesus and believe in him, believe in his word, then we've already done that to ourselves. But we're certainly here to assist in communicating the light, communicating the word, so that eternal life is possible for all who open themselves to God and to his love and mercy.
And one of the ways to understand his word, and we've talked about this before, is probably part of our Lenten journey, is to read a passage of scripture or look at the word of the month that we had for March and just really focus on that. Take that time daily, which is hard. I mean, there's no doubt that it's hard, but you've got to carve out that time.
Right. I mean, that should be our sustenance, you know, is really the Eucharist, as we receive and believe in faith that is the true presence of Jesus Christ, body, soul, and divinity, but also his word. You know, those two are so intricately linked. They are the same Jesus. But to be nourished by his word is a light. And I think this is definitely what St. John is speaking of here. That the word has been given to us, and that word, Jesus, and his words that he has given to us, is light to our path, light to our daily life, and leads us to eternal life.
Mm-hmm. And as I personally see light, that also means to me about God's mercy. You know, for whatever sins, that God is merciful. And all we need to do is to give him what our sins are through penance and reconciliation, right, and then move forward.
Right, and this is a wonderful time to come to the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance, and to just transparently and openly and honestly just state our sins, you know, with the mercy of God, with trust in the mercy of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit in the church. So it's a wonderful time of year, you know, mm-hmm. to take advantage of all of these many, many gifts that are given to us. Mm-hmm. I would like to just say something about the darkness, because the last part of our gospel speaks of that, addresses that the light has come into the world, that Jesus has come, the light of life, the word that he has spoken to us, and it's there. It's accessible to all of us. But it says that people prefer darkness to light because their works are evil. For anyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light so that his works may not be exposed. That's a tragedy, you know, yeah, that, and I think it's, we have a lot of witnessing to do. I mean, we have, you know, missionary disciples, as we're called. And why do I say that? I was driving a couple of days ago at a to go to a funeral in Houston. And just as I was entering Houston, I was listening to a talk radio program, and they were interviewing a secularist, someone who has really embraced secularism. In other words, that we can figure everything out ourselves, that our rational thinking process can figure out all things. Well, you know, didn't have the chance to call in, but I want to say, what about death and suffering? Mm-hmm. Can't figure that out. There are mysteries in our life, but really promoting the fact that we don't really need God, and that Jesus and Buddha and everybody's just kind of, you know, they make good suggestions, but if you want to embrace those suggestions, yeah, you might, you know, have a fairly good life, but you really don't need all of those things. And, you know, it really is, and of course I was heading to a funeral, and I thought, well, you know, say that mm-hmm. to someone who is, right, and died, and probably from the other side of eternal life can look down and laugh, but that's right. Certainly. But what's it rooted in is this secularism that is rampantly catching hold in people's minds. It's individualism as well. I think everybody wanting to be their own king, queen, prince, princess, everybody wanting to have total control, domination over their own life without any regard for anyone else, and even without any regard or with disregard for God, that I can figure it out myself. This is the evil that continues to plague us and is growing in our society. It's the evil that I believe, even though it's many times in the name of religion, that Christians are being murdered, martyred.
Yes.
In the Middle East, the beheadings, that other people are persecuted for their faith, whatever level that's happening, it's because this opposition to any kind, anything divine, anything other than me, anything other than my own way of life and what I want for myself, individualism. I just think individualism expresses itself in extreme secularism. Now, there are some people that, without the gift of faith, are good people. I mean, the Vatican Council spoke of that too, and can, by virtue of their being in touch with their humanity and just don't have the gift of that faith, they do good works. But the extreme secularism that is rooted in individualism, excluding all others and excluding God, is the plague and the real evil of our modern day.
And the violence that's associated with so much of it.
Exactly. And then it just, you know, because if something disturbs me, well, I'll just get rid of it. And mm-hmm. it's these extremes that are really happening. And I would just like to conclude, because we're close to the end, going back to my original premise here about being part of a larger reality of church. Toward the end of our Eucharistic prayer number 2, we pray in the communion of all the saints, have mercy on us, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, with all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, may we merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we merit to be co-heirs of all these people, with our loved ones who have preceded us in faith to the next life, with all of them who continue to live with us in spirit and in prayer. May we all move toward eternal life together, helping each other through prayer and support, especially during this Lenten time and in these troubled times of our world, so that we may all enjoy the light of eternal life.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconcile the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebration to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.